Welcome to the Republican Professor Podcast. I'm the host of the Republican Professor Podcast, Dr. Lucas J. Mather. Well, it's June 2025, years after Jesus, and specifically, it's June 18th. It's a Wednesday. We're finally getting into the heart of a woke issue that is gender. And what the Supreme Court has to do with this, and how Congress can fix some of the woke crap that we're witnessing around the country right now. The angle we're taking is we're going to get into the Bostock case. I want you to go to Giggle Scholar, and I'm sharing my screen, feel free to call me Sharon. I'm going to show you how to look it up. Case law, federal courts. We're going to Bo Stock versus Clayton County. Bo Stock versus Clayton County, Georgia. Let me make sure I'm getting this name right here. Should be coming up. Oh, I misspelled it. That's what the problem was. Yeah, Bo Stock. There it is. 140, Supreme Court Reporter, 1731. I like to use the U.S. reports as a 590th U.S. report volume, starting at page 644. It's right there. We're going to scroll past the syllabus. You can look at the syllabus if you want. I don't like to use the syllabus that much. I like to go right to the opinion of the court. The opinion of the court is what shapes our understanding of the law here. Gorsuch delivered the opinion of the court. And remember, he took Scalia's place. He's a Republican, Trump appointee. Roberts' Chief Justice joined that. He's also Republican, George W. Bush appointee. Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan joined. Alito filed a dissent, joined by Thomas and Kavanaugh. Alito and Thomas were both Bush appointees. Kavanaugh, as you know, is a Trump appointee. So we have three Republicans dissenting and two Republicans in the majority. What is going on with this? And you might think, well, I don't even know what the case is about. Well, it's about a statute that Congress passed. Now, okay. Focus like a laser beam here, as Michael Medved used to say all the time on the radio. Big shout out to Michael Medved. This is about statutory interpretation. It's not about the Constitution per se, okay? So, I don't know why. There's a very common perception that every time you're talking about the Supreme Court, you're talking about the Constitution. You're not always talking about the Constitution, unless what you mean by that is the Article 3 power of the Constitution, the judicial power to interpret law and say what the law is. And then in that case, I guess every case is a separation of powers case, as Judge Kavanaugh said on the DC Circuit. But this is a case about statutory construction as it relates to how to understand the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and its amendments applied to gender. New gender terms. Sometimes small gestures, Gorsuch says, can have unexpected consequences. Major initiatives practically guarantee them. In our time, few pieces of federal legislation rank and significance with the Civil Rights Act of 1964. There, in Title VII, Congress outlawed discrimination in the workforce, in the workplace, on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. Today, we must decide whether an employer can fire someone simply for being homosexual or transgender. You know, it's interesting. My first comment in my notes here is why this disjunction? Why do we have this disjunction? Let me hone in on what I think the issue is here. Homosexuality, the existence of homosexuality, is not denied by anybody that I'm aware of. It's a the it exists. Okay. But the transgender term does not have the same status as homosexual. Transgender is not obviously something that really exists. It seems like it's a relatively new term, whereas homosexual is not. Homosexual goes back a long time. Transgender does not, and yet people act like it's been in existence just as long. So if it is something that exists, it should be pretty obvious what it is. And I'm not sure people can really define clearly what it is. People who say that it exists. Trans means change, right? Hold on a sec. Sorry about that. You may not have heard that, but all of a sudden Michael W. Smith started singing, and I don't know why it started on my computer like that. I guess the robots have taken over for sure. But anyway, he was singing Friends. Okay, so that's my first. I think I've pretty much cleared that up. Being homosexual or transgender. For example, when the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was passed in 1964, everybody knew about homosexuality. I think if you said transgender, I don't think people would know what you're talking about. And the reason I think that is because people nowadays don't know what you're talking about. Notice the term sex here in homosexual, and then the gender term here. I don't see anything about gender here, race, color, religion, sex, or natural origin. Where's gender? What is gender? And how do you change gender? How's that possible? Is it possible to change race? Is it possible to change color? Just asking. Is it possible to change religion? How does that come about? Is it possible to change national origin? So, I mean, like, take national origin, for example. Let's say that I'm not supposed to discriminate on the basis of national origin in the workplace as an employer. Well, what if I say now all of a sudden transnational origin is a thing and I'm a transnational originist? You probably look at me and go, what are you even talking about? And that's my point with this is that the people that passed the Civil Rights Act in 1964, it was in 1964. The meaning of those terms reflect their understanding of it at the time. And if you would have said something like this word transgender, I don't think they would know what you're talking about. Transportation, I get it. Changing locations. Transform, okay, changing form. I get it. Transnational origin, what are you talking about? How can you change your national origin? Your national origin is fixed at birth. Now, maybe it was written down wrong, and that's a mistake, but that doesn't mean that you changed. It just means the form was wrong all along. I suppose you could change religion, but that's not fixed at birth. You could change color, but that's not fixed at birth either. In fact, it changes sometimes for many people during a hot day at the beach in summer. Can you change your race? I think most people would say that's fixed at birth. Although, depends on what you mean by race. Can you change homosexuality? I think the main one of the main premises for so-called same-sex marriage, so-called, was the premise that homosexuality, where it exists, is fixed at birth. It's like race or national origin. It's fixed. Okay, so if it's fixed, doesn't that mean the homo part means same? Doesn't mean that your sex is fixed at birth? And we're not even talking about birth, we're talking about conception, right? Before birth, or at least shortly after conception, but definitely before birth. And if sex and gender mean the same thing, and I think what you're going to find out is the assumption of the court is they do. They do. Well, then that would mean that gender is fixed at birth. Or before birth. The answer is clear. Going back to Judge Gorsuch. An employer who fires an individual for being homosexual or transgender fires that person for traits or actions it would not have questioned in members of a different sex. Sex plays a necessary and undisguisable role in the decision, exactly what Title VII forbids. Those who adopted the Civil Rights Act might not have anticipated their work would lead to this particular result. Likely, they weren't thinking about many of the act's consequences that have become apparent over the years, including its prohibition against discrimination on the basis of motherhood. Yeah, but they knew what motherhood was. Justice Gorsuch. That wasn't, that's something that is long standing in humanity. Or its ban on the sexual harassment of male employees. Again, we have concepts that are not in dispute here, male. But the limits of The drafter's imagination supply no reason to ignore the law's demands. Says Justice Gorsuch, when the express terms of a statute give us one answer and extratextual considerations might suggest another, it's no contest. Only the written word is the law, and all persons are entitled to its benefit. Few facts are needed to appreciate the legal question we face, says Justice Gorsuch. I'm on page 1737 of the U.S. reports. How do we know? Because 1738 is right here. Right there. Okay. So, right there. That's the page number. Few facts are needed to appreciate the legal question we face. Each of the three cases before us started the same way. An employer fired a longtime employee shortly after the employee revealed that he or she, oh, that's interesting. Is there a binary there? Just Judge Gorsuch? That's interesting. He or she is a homosexual or a transgender? Well, again, Judge, you're using terms that people understand because they go back pretty far, as long as English has been around. But what does this word transgender mean? This word is not as old as English. This is the term that's in dispute of whether this phenomenon even exists. Okay, so I'm just saying. And allegedly, for no reason than the employee's homosexuality or transgender status. Again, the issue of whether the thing even exists, the status itself. I'm not talking about whether the person exists. Nobody would wonder that. I mean, unless you're crazy. But whether the status exists. Gerald Bostock worked for Clayton County, Georgia. All right. As a child welfare advocate, under his leadership, the county won national awards for its work. After a decade with the county, Mr. Bostock began participating in a gay recreational softball league. Why would you use the word gay for that? You mean it's a happy recreation softball league? I don't see any problem with that. Not long after that, influential members of the community allegedly made disparaging comments about Mr. Bostock's sexual orientation and participation in the league. Well, that has nothing to do with being gay. I think you mean homosexuality, maybe. That's what you're talking about. You're talking about sexual orientation, that's homosexuality, right? The term sex would give that away. Not the term gay. That refers to how happy you are. Sex is a probably distinct concept from that. Soon, he was fired for conduct unbecoming a county employee. Donald Zarda worked as a skydiving instructor at Altitude Express in New York. After several seasons with the company, Mr. Zarda mentioned that he was gay. Again, this is an interesting term. Why are we using this term? And days later was fired. Amy Stevens worked for RG and GR Harris Funeral Homes in Garden City, Michigan. When she got the job, Miss Stevens presented as a male. Now, this is very interesting, this language. Why are we all of a sudden talking about presented? What's that mean? We don't say this person presented as someone who worked. This person presented as someone who was in Michigan. I mean, what are you talking about? Either you were male or you're not. But 2 years into her, sir, why are you using this term her? Why are you using this term she? I get that people can change names for all sorts of reasons, and some names are not clearly male or female. But are you just going, are you using these terms here because of the name? Because of what this person says? And is that something that this person can change his mind about the next day? Okay. I mean, this issue of presentment, I think you need to take a closer look at that. What does that mean? And what is the power of this legally? What does this imply that I can change my mind on a whim? And if I can't change my mind on a whim, well, for what reasons can I change my mind? Does that matter legally? What counts as a presentment? What's the significance of presentment as opposed to lying about it? Can somebody lie about their gender? These are questions that are not even thought of by the court. The court is not even mentioning these issues here. People lie about being homosexual, sometimes to save their job. My point is that there's something to lie about. There's a fact that can be concealed. Can you lie about gender? Is that even possible? Because as when you're talking about presenting, isn't that the same thing as saying? So the question becomes, can you say something false? Or is it the presentment itself that makes someone so-called in this transgender status? Two years into her service, doesn't that kind of beg the question? When she began, well, again, aren't you begging the question? What's the fact here about the status of this person's gender? I'm not talking about transgender. I'm talking about gender. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to read the text as it's written. Okay. I want to be clear that Justice Gorsuch, a Trump appointee, wrote this text. I'm reading the text of the Supreme Court. Okay. Making that clear. I'm going to continue. When she got the job, Miss Stevens presented as a male. But 2 years into her service with the company, she began treatment. This is very confusing. 2 years into her service with the company, she began treatment. Wouldn't it be correct to say he began treatment? But Okay. This is confusing. I'm just saying, you guys, the question here is whether the Supreme Court can fix this confusion, or are they adding to the confusion? Can Congress fix this confusion? To what extent? We've already seen the president do about it all he can do to fix this confusion. But seems this is my reading of this. Gorsuch, I think, would agree there's confusion here that Congress can fix and that Congress should fix. That's my reading of this. Let's keep going. Two years into her service with the company, again, during those 2 years, wouldn't it be pr appropriate to say it was he? I mean, on their own terms, presented as a male. Doesn't that mean he's a he on their terms? All right. I'm gonna just read what he says, okay? But 2 years into her service with the company, she began treatment for despair and loneliness. Ultimately, clinicians diagnosed her with gender dysphoria and recommended that she begin living as a woman. I think we got the history wrong on that one, but okay. In her sixth year with the company, doesn't that imply that she was a she for 6 years? Miss Stevens wrote a letter to her employer explaining that she planned to live and work full time as a woman, which means that she wasn't really a woman. I mean, if you had to say this, then you're not really a woman, right? Because everybody who's really a woman would know you don't need to say these words for you to be a woman. That's not what makes you a woman. After she returned from an upcoming vacation, the funeral home fired her before she left, telling her this is not going to work out. Well, yeah, dude, it is confusing. I'm just pointing out the confusion. Anybody who speaks English knows this. Okay. While these cases began the same way, they ended differently. Each employee brought suit under Title VII, alleging unlawful discrimination on the basis of sex. All right, so that's what this book is, this is about, is whether the Supreme Court and these plaintiffs are interpreting an act of Congress that happened in history correctly. Okay. Mr. Bostock's case. By the way, what makes him a Mr. Bostock? There's nothing about presenting. I didn't see anything words about presenting. I think he's a mister because he's a he. Am I crazy? The 11th Circuit held that the law does not prohibit employers from firing employees for being gay. And again, this language is so strange. Being gay. What do you mean being gay? Is that's a state of being? I think you mean homosexuality, right? That's what you mean. So his suit could be dismissed as a matter of law. Meanwhile, Mr. Zarda's case, the Second Circuit concluded that sexual orientation discrimination does violate Title VII and allowed his case to proceed. Miss Stevens' case, it's so strange, this language, has a more complex procedural history, but in the end, the Sixth Circuit reached a decision along the same lines as the Second Circuit's, holding that Title VII bars employers from firing employees because of their transgender status. Now, why are you using the term their here? Well, let me tell you the rule in English. He's using it correctly. You use it, employers, from flying employees because of their. Okay, so there's two reasons why he might be using the word there correctly. Because, first of all, employees is plural, and this is plural, possessive plural in English. He could use there if you were talking about one employee that you did not know the gender of, and that's a correct usage in English. Okay. During the course of the proceedings in these long-running disputes, both Mr. Zarda and Miss Stevens have passed away. But their estates continue to press their causes for the benefit of their heirs, and we granted certiorari in these cases to resolve at last the disagreement among the courts of appeals over the scope of Title VII's protections for homosexual. There you go. Good. Good. And transgender. Okay. It seems like if Congress wanted to protect people from discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation in 1964 in the workplace, they could because they knew what that was. I don't think they would have with transgender because no one was using that term and no one would know what it was. And actually, even today, people don't really know what it is. If they act like they know, they don't really, and they're avoiding talking about it because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble if they talk about it. And so the impression is that there's some kind of agreement on it, but there's not really agreement on it because there's not really any knowledge about it. It's not a long-standing term in English, and if you press people just a little bit, you find out how little they really know about it. Just ask someone what a woman is. I mean, one of the people on the Supreme Court was asked, and Justice Jackson, who's now Justice Jackson, she didn't know. She knew it was tied to biology, though, because she said, "I'm not a biologist." All right. Well, that's interesting. Roman numeral two. We'll go a little bit further here. We won't do too much today, but we're going to try to get through this. This court normally interprets a statute in accord with the ordinary public meaning of its terms at the time of its enactment. After all, after all, only the words on the page constitute the law adopted by Congress and approved by the president. If judges could add to, remodel, update, I think that there's some updating going on here. I really do. The fact that he's using these terms as if someone who is supposedly male, he's using the wrong terms for that in English. The fact that a judge is doing that, I think that is adding to what Congress said. But he thinks he has the judicial power to do that. If judges could add to, well, that's what you're doing. Remodel, I think that's what you're doing. You're definitely remodeling. Update or detract from old statutory terms inspired only by extra-textual sources. I think that's what's happening here. And our own imaginations, we would risk amending statutes outside the legislative process reserved for the people's representatives. And we would deny the people the right to continue relying on the original meaning of the law they have counted on to settle their rights and obligations. With this in mind, our task is clear. We must determine the ordinary public meaning of Title VII's command that it is unlawful for an employer to fail or refuse to hire or discharge any individual or otherwise to discriminate against any individual with respect to his compensation, terms, conditions, or privileges of employment because of such an individual's race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. To do so, we orient ourselves to the time of the statute's adoption here in 1964 and begin by examining the key statutory terms in turn before assessing their impact on the cases at hand, and then confirming our work against this court's precedents. What Justice Gorsuch is doing here is he's saying, he's throwing down the gauntlet. He's saying, this is the standard by which you judge my work here. I'm not adding to what Congress said. He's saying a judge can't do that. He's saying, I'm not adding to what Congress said. I'm not remodeling it. I'm not updating it. I'm not detracting from old statutory terms inspired only by extratextual sources and our own imaginations. He's saying, I'm not amending statutes outside the normal legislative process reserved for the people's representatives. That's what he's saying. He's saying that's not what we're doing. We can't do that. And you'll see that this is precisely the point of dispute between the majority opinion and the Republican-only dissents. Bush and Trump appointees in the dissents. Bush and Trump appointees in the majority. So you have a split. It's not between Trump and Bush. It's not. It's between Democrats all in lockstep on one side and some Republicans, both Trump and Bush, and between all Republicans in dissent. That's what you have here. So, how do you understand that? And don't misunderstand it. It's vitally important that you don't misunderstand this dispute between Republicans and Democrats. It's vital. You got to pay attention. So, what Gorsuch is doing I'm going to give you a little bit of inside baseball here, okay? The Chief Justice is on the side of the majority here. This is what I think. He's the top-ranked justice on the Supreme Court, so he gets to decide who writes it. It normally goes by seniority so that the one with the most seniority has a crack at it if he wants to. Gorsuch has very low seniority, relatively speaking. I think the Chief Justice assigned this to Gorsuch. He only could do that if he was on the same side. I think that's sufficient for understanding why those two Republicans are on this side. Now, why that doesn't explain why Gorsuch is on that side to begin with. Well, I think what Gorsuch is doing is, I think he's adopting this language of the Democrats because he's saying, let's assume they're correct, at least as a matter of what's polite, how to politely engage and talk. I'm not going to ruffle any feathers on that. I think what Gorsuch is saying here is judges have to be very careful on this topic to tell the Democrats they're wrong. That's Congress's job to do. And Congress has all the power in the world all day long to correct this. And if Congress does not correct it, then how could I be wrong about this? I think that's what he's saying. I think that's the game he's playing, if you want to call it a game. Unfortunately, it's not really a game, because what this is setting up is a challenge to Congress. It's a challenge to the public. Are you going to fix this through your representatives or not? Because you can. If Congress contradicts what Gorsuch is saying here, Gorsuch is saying, my hands are tied. If Congress wants to clarify this issue of transgender stuff in the workplace, or the extent to which you can or cannot, if you want to micromanage the employment relationship, then you can get in there and micromanage it. Now, I got to decide whether I want to go to A or not. I don't think I want to do that because that's going to take us up close to an hour, and I don't want to get that. I've given you a lot to think about here. So I'm going to stop at A. We're going to come back at A next time. Thanks for joining me on the Republican Professor podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lucas J. Mather. Today is 18 June 2025, years after Jesus. We're here to illuminate some separation of powers issues between the Supreme Court and Congress. And hopefully make the future better for everyone. I want to empower you here. If these issues are puzzling to you, speak up about it. Don't just go along with the crowd because you think it's cool or it makes you protected. Just speak up if you have an issue. If you don't understand something, ask questions. It's okay. It's okay to ask questions. It's 18 June, 2025, years after Jesus. We'll see you next time.